Hello, everybody. Y'all come on in. We're going to get started with coaching today. So let me tell you how it works. All you have to do is raise your hand. And today we have a theme. So the first hour will be anybody who is doing like any type of a special diet, whether that's you need it for diabetes. You are doing some type of medical weight loss, like you could have had weight loss surgery. Maybe you are on some of the weight loss drugs. Any of that stuff counts. So y'all just raise your hand and let me know if you're going to want any coaching. And then let me get Coach Lizzie up here. Let me check the Q&A, get the chat going. Just got to get everything working here. All right, Jen, you're going to be first. Gonna make sure I can see us. If y'all could see, I actually took a little bit of video of behind the scenes of us setting up. It's ridiculous. And then on top of that, I'm turning into my grandmother every single day, like every day. I've always been like her, and I was getting ready, and we got snow outside, and I was burning the fuck up, like sweating. And I've got like lights all around me. And so I told Chris, I came downstairs. I'm in my workout shorts. Literally, I looked like I told him last night I had a robe on with all this get up. I was like, you know, Mrs. Roper from Three's Company? I am her now. I'm like wearing a robe. I got my fancy slippers on that my niece gave me for Christmas and a pair of workout shorts. And but a nice white market, what is it? White House Black Market shirt on. It's ridiculous. All right, Jen, get yourself unmuted.
Good morning,
And
and
yes,
morning,
it's
and
morning.
yes, the slippers look really cute.
Oh yeah, they've got glitter all over them. They're like cheetah print. Oh, my
Love it.
niece, she knows me so well. All
All
right,
things
well,
bougie.
that's right. All things bougie. What you want coaching on?
Okay, well, I woke up this morning and I was like, I'm gonna get coached by Corinne today. I'm gonna do it. And by God, here I am. So
There
that's
you go.
amazing. I manifested
That is the truth.
it. Okay, so I have been a member since April of 21, and I did your program for 2 or 3 years. And I think that really la laid the foundation until then I got on tirzepatide and I hit my goal weight in October of just this last October, so 3 months ago. And still using all of the no BS tools. And I've always been a deep dive diva, but I feel like I am, I've sort of like, I need direction. Like I've lost the weight. And I go on the calls and I use, the coaching around the life stuff a lot, but a lot of a lot of the program is still so much on weight loss. I just and I lost the weight. So I just am sort of, I think I'm in that in-between phase right now of like I need something, I don't know. You know what I mean? I like need something else to focus on. And I did some of the maintenance course and about halfway through. But I think part of it is that yeah, I like to do the things live like with you guys. So when you're, when you're doing Queen of Your Life in December, like I like to go along and do that. And I think because we're not doing the maintenance, I know that's an excuse. But yeah, how do you shift your focus? I don't know how you shifted your focus after you lost all your weight, like how you like I almost feel a little lost. Like, okay, I'm here now and a little left out, you know?
Everybody, I think everybody who has spent their entire life dieting like feels that way. It's no, like I always liken it to this. It is no different than being married to someone your entire life and they're gone. And you're not supposed to just wake up one day and be like, okay, the next phase starts now.
Yeah.
Like you've kind of been married to this lose weight life for a long time. And
Yes.
that relationship has ended.
Yes.
So now we got to find new relationships, enriching relationships. And, you know, some of that is going to be like you, like I will just say, I'll just be really honest. Sorry, I have got thick throat because I've been drinking my smoothie all morning and now it's just like loaded. I'm going to have to switch to the water. You're going to have to ask yourself if, and I don't mean to sound awful, but is Nobia still your home? We are a weight loss group, so there's always going to be a lot of weight loss talk, even though we talk a lot about everything else. You know, like I can't shut down the weight loss talk for the people who are in maintenance, but what you can do though is decide what you want your relationship with No BS to look like moving forward. Part of that could be I may just be ready to graduate. Maybe I'm ready to graduate. But if you enjoy the stuff, because there are a lot of people who are here, and I even belong to several groups myself that are for other things, but I am way past their shit. Like millennia past their stuff. But it's my home, and there are a few things from those memberships and stuff that I really do enjoy. I just can't use all the stuff anymore. So I'll give you an example. I'm in a business membership called Momentum. A friend of mine runs it. It is for brand new course creators. Brand new.
Little past that.
I have written, I know, 300 courses by now.
Oh God, yeah.
I mean, like, y'all don't even know how many I've written that we don't even have in this membership. I've got a whole nother membership jack loaded with shit. So, but over there, I do enjoy the Q&As. It reaffirms how far I've come. A lot of times when I'm listening, I'll pick up a tidbit of something that I haven't thought about in a long time. So it's worth it to me to always keep that membership. I enjoy it just enough. The other thing that you could think about is how can you use what we do in No BS in a new way to support either maintenance or going after something that you really want? Because we do have other stuff. And I know you like doing things live. Every Sunday is a live coaching call on anything.
Yeah, that's true. And I do feel like No BS is my home, like that's for
Okay.
sure. And there are, and I do get out, get things out of, listening to the other calls and stuff. But what do you have recommendations about something else to try out? I was kind of thinking about maybe Kara Lewenthal, her group, but
I mean, I like Kara's stuff. We take kind of a different approach to thought work. One thing before we get you another group, let's just make sure that you know what you can use here. So I know that next month is all about self-love. Where are you at on a scale of 1 to 5 or 1 to 4 of 4 being I adore myself? And I dare myself to say anything negative because I'm standing up for her. Okay. Whereas a one would be, it's the toilet, like I'm spiraling with a pile of doo-doo.
Yeah, it's probably a 2 or a 3. I mean, definitely losing the weight, makes you love yourself more, but I don't I but I did a lot of work before then, but also I in my mind I know like you shouldn't I need to love myself fat or skinny, like you so yeah,
Losing
it's
weight
probably
doesn't make you love yourself more.
yes, I know that from your teaching, but to see I just said it
Except you just
anyways.
said it.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So I it's still there. So yeah, it's
Let
probably
me
a
ask you
2.
this. Why do you think losing weight made you love you more? Let's
What's
clear that up first.
well shit, because I'm 155 pounds. I never thought I'd see that number. That like blew my mind. I never ever even
There's a
imagined it
difference
that way.
between your mind being blown and you loving yourself. What's
Well,
the difference between a mind blow? I mean, I watched the California fires and my mind was blown that that's happening, but that doesn't mean I love a good fire.
No, it's there's definitely a difference.
What is it?
Well, it's conditional, I guess. That's the thing. If I gained the weight back, I would probably be in that old pattern. I mean, I would use your tools to,
Okay.
but
So
I
that's
would still
interesting.
be.
So let me point this out to you. When you really love someone, is it conditional? Like, do
No.
you have children?
Yes.
And do you look at them and say, like, well, as long as y'all are behaving? We're on good terms, but you start pulling some bad grades or acting the donk, love's off.
Yeah, no. Yeah, not even.
So that's one thing to be thinking about is that your weight loss has made you happy in some ways, in terms of there are certain thoughts that are easier to think now. There are things that are easier to believe about yourself now because you've done things. But how do you make it go from, well, it's conditional. Yes, it is easier to love myself at 155. So how do I start working on loving myself in so many ways that 155 isn't the king ding dong domino, that if it fell, the rest of the house falls along with it?
Yeah, I don't. That's a lot of work to do right there.
Yeah, that is the self-love course. And
Okay.
luckily for you, guess what we're doing in February?
Yeah, yay.
Actively together.
Okay, perfect.
But
Perfect.
next month is self-love. And guess what the next month is about?
I don't know. Tell me. Now I'm excited.
It's all about journaling. We are going
Okay.
to release the Think It, Ink It, Shrink It camp we did a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, I did that camp. Yeah, that was a great
We're
camp.
going to. We're going to do it again together.
Okay.
And this might be one of those, because you're a deep dive diva, this will be one that you'll probably enjoy actively doing.
Yeah.
But what I don't want to do is solve the problem of like, oh, I've got 2 months of shit you can do with us. Because we're going
Yeah.
to have months where we're doing weight loss challenges. Like next
Yeah.
month, the goal is to lose 5 pounds with love. Your goal is going to be to love yourself regardless of what you weigh.
Okay.
Like, how do I take everything Corinne's talking about, and how do I I would go back through your history. Like when you, what was your top weight?
213.
I would do work next month on everything that we're talking about. How would I have treated her with love at 213? Because if you think that 155 is what made you love yourself, then that just tells me that at 213, I wasn't loving myself.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't. Yeah.
Well, we want to make peace with all that, because God forbid you, I don't know, blow a knee and have to go on steroids and gain 20 pounds of steroid weight. You'll be miserable. You won't love yourself. You won't give yourself any grace or compassion. You'll just think you're getting fat, and you will go ham on yourself for something stupid like a side effect to a drug. Like, those are the things that we have to think about, because for all of you, especially as you lose your weight and you go into maintenance, you really have to go back, and we have to. I think a mistake I watch a lot of people think is they have to go back and forgive their past self for gaining weight. I'm like, she never needs to be forgiven. She needs you to go back and tell her you understand. And you need to go back and like heal all of those wounds and stuff, so that if for some reason one day you get stuck in a situation where life throws you something that you weren't expecting and you end up gaining 10 or 15 pounds, we don't go back to the same thinking that we had when we were overweight. We go back to all this new thinking that we have. If we go back in our weight, we're not going back to how we talk to ourselves. We now have compassion. We know how to turn it on. We have been practicing it and laying the groundwork for it.
Yeah, that's about 30 years of thought work to undo. I mean, until I found your program a couple years ago, you already there's some of it there, but yeah, it's a lot.
If you want to check out, I like literally have nothing against Cara's program, but Cara's program is very different than mine. And I think some members are in it and they might be able to speak to you more about it. Honestly, I haven't been in it in a long time, even though she's a good
Okay.
friend. She don't belong to my membership. I don't belong to hers. We just talk
Okay.
behind. So that's how we've
Okay.
always been.
Yeah. I think it's like
But
the life goals. I love when you do, like the queen of your life and I love that stuff. Like I just really get off on that stuff. On setting all those goals and going for it and I can focus like a motherfucker, I think I
yeah.
just need I really just need I think but like you said, like it's just been weight loss for over 30 years. So now I'm just, yeah, it's like I've got to figure out what I want to do with my life now. I don't have weight loss distracting me from all the other stuff, I guess.
Well, what would you like to do? Is there anything that's on your heart?
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know. I guess that's something, maybe the journaling camp will help uncover some of that stuff.
Yeah, or you can also one question that helps me, I am one of those people that never has a shortage of goals. My problem is always my coach is always trying to help me dwindle them down. Like she's like, "Girl, like I just don't think you can do all this year." And I'm like, "Watch me." And I don't always end up doing them. Like I don't want all of y'all to think that I meet every goal, but I am no shortage. Like right now I've got 10 on my list. And I'm like, I
Okay.
can't wait to eat one of these because I've got more waiting in the wings for that spot. So I like to ask this question of myself. If I had all the time in the world, what would I try to do? If money was no object, here's what I would be doing with myself or my life. If I wasn't worried about what other people thought, this is what I would probably be doing. This is what I would try. And the thing that I think that helps these questions is all you have to do is see what's in there. And I always make an agreement with myself. You do not have to do any of this stuff. Like, you really don't. But it's good to know because almost like I always, and I really do believe this, Jen, is you wouldn't be asking the question if there wasn't something in there. Like needling on you, but you've probably got some kind of upper level excuse that's not letting it come up. And it's usually one of the big three: what other people think, time, or money. That's usually the big three reasons why we won't even articulate them because our brain shuts down our dreams and desires when we are constantly telling the story of, I don't have time, I don't have money. People will tell me I can't do it, or I would look the fool if I couldn't do it. And sometimes it's a combination of all three. So you just like if usually when you just tell yourself, I'm just seeing what's in there. And if time, money, and other people's opinions ever change, well, at least I know. And then that usually gives you enough to start working on. Then you can work on self-love and you can work on journaling camps and you can come to coaching calls. Honestly, you can take all this to Ask Coaches. Ask Coaches is not just there for people who have diet doo-doo.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally like if you want to work on a goal, you could go to Ask Coaches every week and say, here's what I did on my goal. Here's the stuff I didn't get done. Coach me on this one thing. Coach me on my procrastination. Coach me on my bullshit. Whatever it is, you get to ask all that stuff. So you do get to use us actively in different ways than maybe what, just maybe in a new relationship with us.
Okay. Yeah, that's juicy. Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Well, congratulations on being in maintenance
Thank you. Yeah.
and finish that course.
Okay, I will.
Coach Christy does a coaching call with the maintenance people every month. Get the
Yeah.
course done so that, and don't tell yourself, I just like live experiences. How many things have you listened to that I've done over the years if you've been a deep dive diva?
Oh God, everything, really. And it's not all
Probably. Yeah. And I would almost bet, like, if you really sat there and thought about it, at least 60%, if not more, of your time in OBS has spent in listening to replays, and it has been in live experiences.
Oh yeah, like 80%. I try to stay with the month, so I can keep up with the comments on the Facebook and then it's more relevant. But oh yeah, I have to listen to replay. I'm on the West Coast, and you guys, just because of time even, I have to listen at other times.
And this is what I would tell myself instead of, I think you said either I need to do it live or something about it being live. Just change the way you're saying it, which is 80% of what I do in OBS has always been pre-recorded
Okay.
and it has worked for me.
Yeah, that's a
And
good
then
thought.
20% of it can be now ask coaches. And you can, like, I will promise you, if you bus it up in the maintenance group or in the main group. And you were like, I'm here to talk about goals. Like, I have finally figured out something I want to do, or I don't know what the fuck I want to do. Who else is lost on goals? And let's get together and brainstorm something. I would almost bet you would have a lot of people who would be like really interested in that conversation in live time. Y'all could post all the damn time about it. Plus, it'd be refreshing because sometimes it's nice to walk up into the weight loss group and see people talking about something about their life other than just weight loss all the time, you know? All right. I can't wait to see what you do with yourself.
Thank you.
You're
Yeah, I'll let you
welcome.
know.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.
Tammy, you're next.
Hello?
Hey, Tammy.
Hello? Can you see me?
I can't see you yet. I can hear you though. Here, I'll ask you to
Okay.
start your video.
I'll start my video. Here we go. Okay, there we go.
There you go. All
Okay.
right. What'd you come up
All right. Hello, Corinne. My question, I've in March, it'll be 3 years since I joined NoBS.
Okay.
I hit my goal. Probably fall, not this year, the year before. And that holiday, I gained 10 pounds back
Okay.
and struggled to get it off. I ended up doing tirzepatide to get the last, to get that 10 back off. And I've done the, setting my goal range from 140 to 150. I'm at the upper end of the 140.
Okay.
Before the holidays this year, I decided I wanted to set my goal that I did not want to get over 150.
Okay.
And the problem, not that there's a problem with that. I guess what it did to me was set me back into like restriction mode. And I felt like, oh, I'm so sorry, the sun is just shining through my window.
You're okay. You're okay.
It sent me, I found myself writing on my why every day, writing that to stay under 150. That was my why. And
And
the
why did
girls
you
in
want to
my
stay under?
accountability,
Well, go ahead. What were
sorry, go
your what's
ahead.
your goals? Go ahead. I'll answer my question
Sorry,
later.
I'm going to pull this blind down really quickly.
You're fine.
My girls in my accountability group kind of called me out on that and said, what is your thinking behind that? And it did feel scary. It felt almost like punishing myself. Like somehow, if I went above that 150, it was going to be a catastrophe, and I would not be able to lose that again. And like this
Okay.
morning, I got on the scales and I was 151.
Okay.
And
So we're at
so that's
151
scary.
and you feel scared.
Yeah.
Okay.
It
And
feels
why?
overwhelming, like, oh my gosh, here I go. I'm going to gain this weight back again.
Okay. That's one thought, and it's very true. You could. And that's why it's scary. Why? But look, I just want to know, like, if you gained this weight back again, and I think it's just good for you to know this. Why is it scaring you so much? If you were to gain your weight back, why is that so scary? What happens that's so bad?
I think it means that I failed. Like I've gone back into those old habits, and it's almost like, because we've all been through so many diets and the gaining and the losing. At one point over 20 years ago, I had gastric bypass and I gained all that weight back. And this is no BS. This has been the kind of the longest time that I've been able to maintain this. and keep that off. And I just have that
So,
fear.
yeah. So it makes sense why you would be afraid if you've had a lot of times where you've regained weight in the past. Your brain is thinking, our brains always do this. They don't have a choice unless we are actively telling it what the current truth is. Our brains only can go and access the way we've thought about things in the past until you've handed your brain, wait, no, things have changed. Here's the new thinking. And it takes energy to do that. It takes no energy to be scared. Zero. It takes no energy to let your brain tell you that that I have failed because I fell into old habits. It takes zero energy. It just scares the shit out of you. What takes energy is to pull that thought apart, to say, is it really true that if so, the first thing we have to conquer before we can't even think about trying to get this weight off until we get this part conquered. Otherwise, you do what you're setting yourself up for. Your brain is like, in the past, I would tell her she's a failure. I would scare the shit out of her, and then she would restrict. And I think that will help her if she could just get back to restricting. But the problem with fear-based weight loss is you can only stay scared for so long, and then you need a little relief. So you eat a little bit, and then you get like, okay, I got a little bit of relief, so now I can restrict again. And we get caught between really hard restriction, eat to relieve ourselves so we can have more energy to go restrict. It just then
Yes.
you're just stuck in the
Vicious
circle.
cycle.
Yes. And it's just like, oh my God. But our brains, they're just like literally, I'm just going to offer up what we've done before, even if it didn't work. That's the craziest thing about your brain is it's not this part of your brain that's working in the automatic cycle. Isn't logical. It's not thinking about outcomes. It's not thinking about does this work or not. It's thinking this is what we used to do. Her weight's going up, so we should go back to this unless she teaches us a new way to think and do in this moment. So let's pull apart. I've failed because I fell back into old habits. Does going back to old habits equal failure?
In my brain it does. It
Okay.
means that, you know, I've worked so hard these 3 years to build new habits, and I feel like
Yes.
I'm just when I feel like I'm doing better, you know, like I'm making my plan every day. I'm you know, trying to drink the water, I'm trying to do all those things, and I am in such a better place than I was
Okay,
3 years
so then
ago.
it's not true. You just literally gave me a lot of proof that your thought isn't true, and yet you're hanging. It's like the second you're like, no, it is. It's true in my mind, but let me tell you about all the new habits that I have established. So it doesn't mean if your weight's going up that you have fell into your old habits. Number one, that's not true. You just told me, here's the thought that's actually true that came from your mouth. When my weight goes up, I still have a lot of really good habits in place. There's just a reason why my weight's going up.
Yes.
It like I want you to think about this. How does that thought feel? Like let's just pull apart the two thoughts. The thought that it's like it's not true that I'm back in my old habits. What's really true is I still have a lot of good habits that I'm doing. There's just something going on here. And I need
Yeah,
to find.
it feels like some relief.
Yeah. Now
Yeah.
tell me how this thought feels. I fell back into my old habits, and that means I'm failing.
Really shitty.
Yes, it feels awful. And it's one automatic thought that you have that you believe is true. But then when we have this other one, it's like, well, that one feels a lot better. And it's actually true. It came out of your mouth, not even mine. So what we have to do is when we start feeling the fear and the panic that we're at 141 or 151, you've got to tell yourself, first of all, I'm not back into my old habits. Not 100%. I'm still doing these things. But what is true is I know something must be going on, and I am going to be a dog with a bone until I figure out why I'm actually gaining weight. There's got to be some reason why this is happening.
Okay.
Especially
How do I go
go
about
ahead.
finding that reason?
Well, tell me about your last overeat.
I don't know if it would be an overeat, but I ate past full last night
I
and
would call that
I had it.
overeat. That's an
Okay.
overeat. I don't care if it's one stalk of broccoli or 30 Twinkies. That's an overeat. And for some reason, we do it. Okay. We just have a reason why we do it. We just want to find the reason. Sometimes the reasons are not that big a deal. Sometimes the reasons are the exact thing that can unlock fixing something. So why do you think you overate last night?
So last night we were having burgers and I made myself a turkey burger, and I always do my turkey burger without the bun. And last night I thought, you know what? I think that's restrictive because I like having a bun. So I ate it with the bun and the sauce and, you know, pickles and all the stuff on it. And it was so good. It was like I was allowing myself to enjoy that, and it
Okay.
felt so unrestrictive that before I knew it, I ate the whole thing. And then I was like, oh shit, I ate past enough. Because then, I mean, I could feel it immediately. I was full and I ate past enough.
Okay. So that story tells me a few things. Number one is when you feel like you are not restricting, your brain might check out for a little bit because that's what it's used to doing. So, in order for you to be able to enjoy a turkey burger like this, you have to get used to being able to eat it mindfully while also you're experiencing freedom. Which is crazy. When somebody is really used to restricting, you know what they're not good at? Eating when they are feeling enjoyment and freedom. Because they haven't been doing that for a long time. And so the moment food starts feeling good, your brain is like, oh my gosh, here's what we got to do. You better check out. Because if I don't check out, this bitch is going to sit here and eat a turkey burger telling me, you shouldn't be having a bun. You know you're doing it wrong. You're probably just going to gain weight, Tammy. So
That
your brain
is so
is used
true. That
to.
is so true.
Yeah. So now we've got to build the skill of being able to eat foods you enjoy. Like having joy and having freedom mindfully. Because probably right now, if you start enjoying your and you want to be mindful, like you really want to enjoy it, your brain probably freaks out. So we have to let it judge you. Like, Tammy, my God, what are you doing? And you'll be like, it's okay. I'm going to eat till enough. I'm really paying attention. One day it will be very easy for me to eat this and enjoy it and have a natural stopping point without having to do it so hard. But today, it's going to be hard to enjoy it. Because I'm gonna be telling my brain, calm down, this is okay. I'm gonna eat slow. I'm not gonna check out. I'm learning how to eat with freedom. I mean, it
Okay.
sounds crazy, doesn't it? It's like we're so, like it's so much easier for us to be like, I should just restrict. Except it feels like
It is.
ass.
And the restriction part, I think, is just, you know, because from old diet, you know, bullshit, it's just that restriction is the first thing that like wants to creep back into my head again.
Yes. And that's the part we want to let come back in. We don't want it to feel like it needs to creep anymore. Like the problem is when we're afraid of restriction, or we think it shouldn't be there, or it's a problem because, like, oh my God, look, Corinne, I have restrictive thoughts coming. When you freak out about restrictive thinking, then it feels like it's got to, get the Marauder's cloak from Harry Potter, put it on itself, and sneak around to try to get you to do stuff. We don't want it, enshrouded in a disappearing cloak. We want it loud and clear in our face. I mean, it's just like, I wish I could show you this video. I take videos of my stupid cat every morning. She gets next to me when I'm working in my chair, and she sits on the arm stool and she slaps at my face. And she does not stop until I make her a nest with a blanket and pet her. And when she gets settled, I can go back to work. You want your restriction thoughts to be a Lakita. You want to go out and have a turkey burger, and you want it going like, "Don't come on, pay attention to me. You're fixing to fuck everything up." And then that's where you're like, "Let me make you a nest. Let me pet you. You settle your ass down because I'm fixing to have a turkey burger. We're gonna eat it mindfully." And that's the like when I say weight loss is like, it can be easy. It doesn't have to feel as hard. It's like, I've got to teach y'all how to enjoy things. Because for y'all, a good bit of you enjoying your food is scary. It's not just the turkey burger, it's everything. It's like, if all it was a damn turkey burger, that's all you thought was like, here's a turkey burger with a bun and some sauce. And I'm a human who happens to be female at my age living on this earth. If that's all you thought, you'd have no problems with the turkey burger. But when you look at a burger and it signals you're so good and you're so tasty, but you're the one that always makes me gain weight and you have no control. And like when the story is all loaded like that, that's what makes it hard to lose weight. Because we're going to have to do the hard work, which is unwind some of this fear. Which means that in the short run, just because something tastes good doesn't mean it's a damn good time when you're eating it. Because it's not as fun to eat something when you're going to let your restrictive Lakita thoughts come in and judge you. And it's, that's going to suck a little joy out of it, but that's the hard work we want to be doing. We want to be like, I'm going to talk to you and I'm going to calm you down. And I'm going to, like, every single time we eat something, I'm going to pay really close attention so that I can form the new habit of thinking different thoughts about food so that I can practice stopping. And when I stop, then I have to practice wanting to keep going. Thinking that, like, because your brain, like, the next phase, like, you'll do this part where you'll settle your brain down from judging you. Then the next part will be when you're gonna stop eating when you're really at enough. And there's like 25% of a juicy fucking turkey burger staring you in the face. And you're all restricted. Like, Lakita wakes up and she's back to slapping you. She's like, oh my God, you probably won't ever get this again. I mean, it could be forever before we eat something like this. We don't get these things very often. Like, then it's going to want you to finish. And then that's going to be the next part that's hard is saying, you know what? I don't take these foods away from myself anymore. You don't need to freak out. In fact, we're very comfortable in our body right now. And if I eat the rest of this, it might taste good, but I know I'm going to have more of these. And I also know, I don't like how I feel in the morning. That 25% would be a good time now, but it'll be feel like 100% of self-loathing tomorrow. And I really want to get good at being able to enjoy food as often as I want. And this is the path. And you just have to stick with it. And then eventually, it doesn't take too long, but eventually, it's not a lot of thinking.
I was going to say, so do I, like, when that's taking place and I'm feeling that, like, do I need to just try to form a habit of stopping myself and and the self-talk, and not allow that part of my brain to take over. I
Yeah,
mean, how do you suggest that I do, like,
you
make
tell
that
me.
A habit, I guess?
Pardon? Repetition. The only way to make anything a habit is repetition. Like, you got to
Okay.
be willing to do this, even when your brain thinks it's not working.
Okay.
That's the funny thing about habits is usually we quit before we even allow a habit to start working. We give it
Okay.
like one or two tries and we notice that we overeat or something. And we're like, oh, I'm going right back to that miserable restriction route. And it's like, but that's not working. Like, just because you eat a turkey burger to full or past full, but if you can sit and, like, you have to look for progress that you're making. That's where the consistency comes in. Consistency isn't about perfection. Consistency is about, where are all the little progress points I made? So if I'm eating this turkey, but let's say we, like, this time you eat past full, and this time you didn't pay attention to what was going on in your brain at all. Like, you just started eating, you notice it tastes good. Next thing you know, you checked out so that you wouldn't have to hear, you know, I like how Lakita is now going to be our asshole voice, but our asshole voice. So now, the next time you eat a turkey burger, progress can happen in a lot of ways. It can be that you eat so mindfully that you stop at enough. And so check. Then the next time you eat it, it may be that you just get really good at listening and talking to that voice, but you don't get that. Maybe that time stopping at enough was harder for you and you don't, but you have to be determined to say, but I changed the pattern. Like, I'm changing the habit pattern, because the habit isn't, we're not trying to get in the habit of stopping with a turkey burger at enough. We're trying to get into the habit of, when you eat something you really love, that you can stay mindful through the entire process. That's
Okay.
the habit we really want. And so there are lots of steps to that habit. Step one is allowing yourself to have it to begin with. You know, one step is paying attention for when you speed up your eating or check out. Another step is the conversation that you have with your voice when it comes in, and it's judging you for eating because you're paying attention now. Another step is, you know, deciding when enough is. I now know in my body where I'm at. And another step is being willing to actually stop. Just because you know your body's at enough, it doesn't always mean we're willing to stop. So another part of that habit is forming the part where that happens. So there's lots of places where progress can be happening. But what
Okay.
I watch most of you do is you don't understand forming a habit, because you think, I just have to get in the habit of stopping at enough when I eat something I like. It's like, you've got to figure out these little steps so that as you one day get there, you conquered like the seven places within that habit that we can get really good at doing that make it easy to stop at enough when you're eating something you love.
Okay. All right,
Okay.
I'm going to
One last
come
thing
back
I
and
want to.
listen to this and write all those points down.
Yes, I want you to do that. But I want the main thing I want you doing right now, though, is realizing that you are not back into your old habits. You just aren't. There's no way you are. The
Right.
only thing that's going on right now is, and I would be really strict with telling myself this, the only thing that's going on right now is there are things I'm doing that are vastly different than the way I used to be. And there are some things that right now need my attention.
Okay.
And I want to figure out what the things are that need my attention, because when I figure those things out, then I know I can get the scale going back in the direction I want it to. And that is a much calmer way to talk
Yes.
about it. And it's 100% the truth, because that is exactly what needs to happen right now. There are parts of you that just need attention right now.
Yes. I love that. I love that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne. I appreciate it. Thank you so
All right.
much.
Have a good night. Susie. Y'all, I'm hot and thirsty. I will say this. Let me tell y'all this while we get Susie up here. Well, Susie, let's see. Are you coming? No, she's not coming. Michelle. So my husband has decided, I don't know if y'all know what a sous vide is, but he used to sous vide some stuff back in the day. And I mean, when I say he used to, he was doing it like once every blue moon. But if he's going to cook, he's going to sous vide something. And for some reason last week, he just decided he's going to start sous viding again. And every night he's sous vide chicken or salmon, but he puts a lot of salt on stuff. And I told him, I was like, you're going to have to slow down on this salt. I was like, so I have low blood pressure, and I said, right now, I would bet you my blood pressure's up. There is no reason why my blood pressure right now would be low because I feel like all I've done is lick a salt lick all week long. All right, Michelle, what do you need coaching on?
So I don't know if we're on the next part of the coaching or not.
We're not, but go ahead. It's fine. The other
Okay,
two are called iPhones, so I'll call on them next.
nighttime eating. That's what I need help on. And I did listen to a call as I was taking a shower this morning from December 23rd. I cannot remember the lady's name, but she was eating from being lonely. I don't think that's why I'm eating.
Okay.
But you talked about how can I build a better relationship with myself? And that just really, like the light bulbs went out off, and I just was like, that's something I need to work on.
Okay. How does working on a better relationship with yourself, do you think, like what is the connection between the relationship with yourself and your nighttime eating? That'll help me figure out what we need to do next.
I think that there are things that I want to do, and I'm not talking about big, grandiose ideas, just things that I want to do that I think would fulfill my life maybe better.
Okay.
And I'm not doing them. And in the evening, I'm just sitting and I'm eating
Why are
to
you
take.
not doing them in the evenings?
I don't know.
Well, you'll have to tell me. So what we'll do is we'll call it awkward silence. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds to think about this. And the question is, it's nighttime. There are fulfilling things. Well, what are the things you want to give me one or two fulfilling things you're wanting to do?
Well, I do love to crochet, and I've not been doing that for the longest time up until recently. And
Okay,
doing
so you
other,
are doing that one.
I did just start back over Christmas break, but I was not working. Yeah,
Why
so I
can't
was
you do
off.
it with working?
I can.
Okay, well then you solve that problem, right?
Yes.
Why don't you do it when you're working?
I think. I feel like that there's just not enough time, but that's not true.
Okay.
Because I know
So
that
what
there's time.
time would you be crocheting at night?
I mean, usually after dinner, I would say like 7 o'clock. You know,
Okay.
it's from 7 until 9, 9:30 is when I'm just watching TV and I'm scrolling on Facebook and just and
Okay.
eating.
So you have time. So we know that's just bullshit. Because if you like, I always tell people this, like, please don't tell yourself you don't have time to do something when it's not true. There
Right.
are legit people that, from 7 to 9:30, they've got, twins, they gotta get the nipples out. Like, they gotta do all the things. Like, I remember when Logan was little, nighttime was just until he went to bed and he Lord, Logan took the long way to go to bed. Like, it was hours of a bed routine. Just, it would drive you crazy. So you got time.
I've got plenty of time.
Okay. Do you not want to just watch TV and scroll Facebook? Why do you not want to just do that, is my question.
Think the TV is okay. The
Okay.
scrolling Facebook just feels mindless, a habit, and it's just not, I feel checked out, like completely checked out.
Do you, but well, this is a good question. Like, do you want to be checked out in the evenings after you've worked? Like, let's really examine this. If there was zero fucks to give, Michelle, in the world, and we did not give a damn what society or anybody says we should be doing with ourselves, and you've worked all day, I guess you work all day. Okay, what do you do?
I'm a supply chain analyst. I love my job. It's wonderful. I work from home all but one day.
Okay, so you got a great job you love, like me, very fulfilling, all the things. But does it still make you tired?
It does. It makes me mentally tired.
Okay, so we're mentally tired at the end of the day. Like, we're just trying to get a really good sense of Michelle's life, okay? So you and I have a lot in common. We get up, we work from home. Well, I work from home all the time, but you have most of the time you're working from home. You have a mentally challenging job that you absolutely love. It's the end of the day. You've done everything you're supposed to do, basically, right?
Yes.
Now, if there was no judgment, what would you want to be doing in the evenings?
Relaxing.
Okay, so we know we want to relax.
If I was thin, relaxing.
Wait a minute. Fat people are not allowed to relax?
Yes, of course we are.
Except for you, who just said, now, if I was thin, I'd just be relaxing.
I
But at
feel
my
like I
size,
should.
I need to be anxious and judgy and I don't know, whatever you got
I
going
need
on
to
there.
exercise. I need to do something that is leading me toward weight loss and getting my strength back and endurance, not just sitting around.
Okay. But we don't give fucks. Remember, this is the world of play. You're already back into the world of judgment. This is what we should be doing with our time. In which you're actually wrong, because the only way you're going to lose weight is not going to be because it's between 7 and 9:30 at night you decide to start moving your body around. All that's going to do is, like, it's going to take care of you physically. If you move your body around while still thinking that overweight people or what at your size shouldn't be relaxing yet, you're still going to eat.
Right.
We don't solve dick with that at all. Just
Right.
because you go for a walk doesn't mean you're going to lose what you're going to walk the block and then walk right back to that fridge.
Yes.
That ain't going to help because you still got the same bullshit judgment weighing down on you and you're not meeting your needs.
Right.
Okay. I'm not saying exercise is, like, not good for y'all, but some of y'all got to quit. I wish I would quit worrying about your movement before you worry about your mental health. Let's get your mental health in check first. And then when that's in check, guess what? Most people want to start moving after that. But when you try to drag your sorry ass to work out and all you're doing is sitting there thinking about what a sorry ass you have, it won't be fun.
No, it's not.
Okay, so let's just pretend exercise is off the table. You're not allowed to do it. Now, what would you be doing in the evening? Knowing that you want to relax. What's relaxing?
Watching TV. Crocheting does relax me.
Hi, I'll let you keep the crocheting. Anything else?
Reading, and I do
Reading.
usually do that before bed. And I do
Okay.
meditate in the evening. So.
So you got some good habits working for you in the evenings. So why do you think you're eating too? So if we already know we have some time to ourselves, we really want to relax, we love watching TV, we like crocheting, we're already meditating, we're doing these things, why do you think you're still eating?
I think a lot of it is habit.
Okay, if it's just habit, it should be really easy to stop.
I've heard you say that so many times in the calls, and I keep thinking that.
So when you try not to eat, what happens?
Well, I've done really well from in the beginning. I ate and I didn't even realize it halfway. It was just, it's what I did. And then I got to the point of realizing I was doing it. And then I went to the next step was, and this is where I'm at most of the time. I know I'm doing it or I'm getting ready to do it and I'm giving myself permission to do it.
Why? If it's just a habit, then you should just tell yourself no. That would be like if your kid was picking their nose and eating their boogers, would you say, like, well, I'm going to give you permission for a little while because I notice you're doing it?
I think a big thought that comes out is, well, I'll just do better tomorrow. And I do occasionally say, no, you won't. It's not going to be any easier tomorrow than it is today. And at
I
some
tell myself
point,
it's going to be worse tomorrow.
right. And
Because
at
it
some
is.
point,
Because every time you do the habit, your brain thinks, oh, I'm supposed to keep doing this.
right.
So tell me, I know you have those excuses and you have answers for them. So why do you still go do it?
Most of the time, I just hear myself say, or it's a thought of, you really shouldn't do this. You're not hungry. You don't want to do this. And that's
Yeah.
where I just cut it off and I eat.
Why? Why do you not just love that voice and say, like, thank you. You saved my ass. I was fixing to just do my habit.
I don't know. I think it's because I've done it for so long.
So what can we do? Like, if it's literally just a habit, this isn't, it doesn't, I've poked and prodded at this several different ways. The only thing that I've noticed is you might have a little bit of shame around your Facebook. I mean, I'm going to be real honest. I look at Instagram for probably a good 90 minutes every night because it's my favorite way. Like when we're watching TV, I like to scroll Instagram. I follow all my favorite shit. It's the way I catch up with UT sports, cats, the comedians, everything that I love in the world is right there on Instagram, waiting to update Corinne. I don't have shame over it, though. Now,
Don't
if you really,
enjoy the Facebook. I mean,
you
I
do or you do
do, but
not.
I don't.
Well, if you're not enjoying it, then I would say yes, let's take that out. It's no fun. Or I'd clean up my feed to where the only thing I ever saw was the stuff I love. Facebook isn't going to show, Facebook's goal is to show you things you interact with. So if you stop to read Linda's bullshit rant about how she hates her neighbor's bushes being 3 feet in her yard or whatever it is, Facebook gets trained. It's just like your habit brain. Facebook thinks, oh, she loves it when Linda's on a rant. So the next time Linda's on a rant, I better show her that shit. Anything you interact with, you like it, you stop to, the algorithm knows even if you slow your scroll to read things, it knows if you expand comments, it knows all of it. And so it will keep trying to show you whatever it is you interact with. So if you don't like those things, stop following them. But, if you want to keep your Facebook habit, my suggestion is clean thy feed. Then you will enjoy the shit out of it. Or stop it and just say, I'm just not going to get on there anymore. But the
Yeah,
big
most
is,
of it is okay. There's a lot of no BS on there. I've taken a lot of the weight loss stuff because I don't want to hear about Weight Watchers and different things like that. Not that there's anything wrong with it. If people want to do it, that's fine. I just don't want that always coming up on my feed.
you can always just go into our group too. You don't even have to go to your
Right.
feed. Launch Facebook, just go straight to our group. That's one other thing y'all can do. But that's not really the problem. What I
No.
am seeing here is I can't find an emotional reason why you're eating at night.
I don't think I have one, and I've
If it's
really
literally,
tried.
yes. And if it's just habit, now we just have to figure out How do we make it harder for you to do your habit? Now, this is where for all of you, taking certain foods out of the house actually can work. Because now it's not because you can't have them. It's literally like, I keep going back to eat XYZ every night, and it's not even emotional now. And I just want to make it easier for me to stop this habit. So I'm just going to take the, I'm just, it will be, I know me. I'm not getting in my car and driving to go get it.
No, I'm not.
So if you're not going to be like, it's like me, and I'm trying to think of something that, like chips used to be a big deal. Now we have chips all over the house. Like I had them out of the house for so long, and it wasn't because I ever told myself I couldn't have chips. I told myself, you can have chips. Every time we order Subway, get chips. If you really want to have chips, go get a bag at the store, bring them home, portion them, and plan which meals you're going to have them. And when you're done with the chips, we're just done with them for a couple of weeks. We're just going to eat other stuff. Like I've done periods like that. And what it does is it helps me, like if I don't have anything that I can eat at night, like protein bars are a good example. I don't keep them in the house right now. Was getting into the habit of just wanting something at night for no reason. And all it took for my old habit was to eat a protein bar one night. One night I eat one and I tell myself, it's not a big deal. You know, you're craving something sweet. Let's go get a protein bar. And I have it. That was enough for my brain to ask for it every fucking night. Every night. And after like two or three nights, I was like, we're getting rid of the protein bars. I don't need them. If I really need a protein bar, I will drive my happy ass somewhere and I will buy me one. But for right now, I just need to not, like, if I don't have anything, then my brain will be like, ooh, something like, I wish we had something sweet. And I'm like, unfortunately, we don't have anything.
I mean, and that could work because I do notice it's almost like, I get finished with dinner probably about 6 o'clock, and by 7:30 I'm going, well, it's time to eat now.
Yeah.
Most of the time I'm not hungry.
You're never hungry. I would just tell myself, I'm never hungry at
I'm never
7:30. If
hungry.
I ate dinner at 6, I'm never hungry at
Right.
7:30. I mean, unless you ate, stalk of lettuce like a turtle.
Right.
But if you're eating a decent meal, you're not going to be hungry. And you sound like you know yourself well enough. It's like, this is not a hunger issue. I'm
Right.
just wanting to eat. So you could try taking some of the foods out that you normally eat.
Okay.
But this is the thing you need to tell yourself. This is not because I can't control myself around food. This is literally because I'm just trying to break the habit of nighttime eating. And I'm stuck in the loop of my brain asking me for food every night. So far, I've not been able to just say, like, no, we are not eating. I don't care how much you scream. I don't care how much you holler. This is not what we're doing tonight. I know you think we're going to do better tomorrow. I know we aren't. I have watched myself eat at night long enough to know that tomorrow you're going to scream just as hard, if not more, because I did it today. Like, if
That
you
is
could just
true.
sit and you could have that conversation with yourself and get through a few days of it, wearing you out a little bit, like being exhausting, not fun, not relaxing at all. Because you have to think about it. Your brain wants to relax at night. You're giving it things to do, but for some reason, it doesn't feel like it's completely relaxed unless it's eating. And the moment you take that food away, relaxation's going to be gone. You're going to have to tell yourself, no, we are not eating. This is not what we're doing. You can crochet to relax. You can watch TV to relax. You can scroll Facebook to relax. We have plenty of things we can do to relax. And I know you're going to still throw a tantrum, but we're not eating. And then you have to have a few days where you don't get what you most want in the moment to get what you most want in the long run, which is, I just don't want to be a nighttime eater anymore.
Okay.
So, what are you thinking?
I mean, I think that sounds good. I think it sounds doable. I've done similar in the past, and whenever I have made it
through the whole conversation, I've been successful. You know, a lot of times, you know, I give up halfway into it. They're like, nah, we'll just do it tomorrow. But whenever I'm able to continue the conversation to the end, I mean, I'm fine. And honestly, after about 10 minutes after that conversation, I'm good. You know,
have you tried telling yourself, like, just go watch TV, and if in 10 minutes you're still wanting it, we'll rehash this conversation?
I have thought about not setting a timer, because I didn't want the timer to go off and remind me, but like writing down like it's 7:32 and thinking, I give myself 10 minutes at 7:42. If I'm still wanting something, you can go eat. I've not
try
done that.
This. But it's, try rather than giving yourself permission to go eat, try telling yourself, when the timer goes off, I'm going to reevaluate where I'm at. And because a lot of times what happens is in those 10 minutes, you're not as like wanting it as much. And so when the timer goes off, if you notice, like I would tell myself, look, I don't even, I like, oh yeah, I set this timer because I thought I wanted to eat. Or I set this timer because my brain is in the habit of asking food. Look, I made it 10 minutes. I obviously don't need to eat. Because if I was like really hungry or whatever, I'd be worse off now.
Right.
Like maybe even try flipping the conversation. Sometimes telling ourselves the other thing is fine. Sometimes telling ourselves a new conversation. You've tried saying, you know, if you still want to eat after 10 minutes, if all your brain now is gotten used to saying like, okay, I'll wait 10 minutes to eat, then we need to try a different. For some people, that permission is what gets them up, like, was it Tammy? I think that was her name.
Mm-hmm.
For someone who's a real restrictive eater, permission really helps. It gets them over the hump of the fight, of thinking it's unfair and all this other stuff. I don't feel like that's happening for you. So
no.
Rather than saying, like, say, we're going to wait 10 minutes. And at the end of 10 minutes, like, we'll see where we're at. But I bet this will have died down because you've already experienced that.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense, because yes, after that, I'm saying I've given myself permission. So let's go.
Yeah.
You know,
so maybe try this. But I would just expect for it to be a lot of talking to yourself, like as everything is, it's always a lot of talking to ourselves. And it's,
okay,
you know, for you, it may even sound like it just is, you talk to yourself, you're started on the road, but you're not going as long as you think you need.
Right.
Like most of us, that's the problem that we have, is like, we kind of tell ourselves like one new thought, maybe two, and that takes all of 3 seconds. And then we're in shock and awe that that didn't solve it all.
Absolutely.
And so then we just immediately go eat, like, okay, well, that was, you know, that didn't work, or, you know, well, I'm at least a bit uncomfortable, so let me just go eat now, because I really thought this thought would just make it all better.
Right.
And that's not what happens. There's a something I teach in business that kind of correlates to this. Used to be in business, it only took 2 to 3 asks of a company before somebody would buy something. So you could like get 2 or 3 coupons before you would use one. You could see an advertisement for something a couple times and you would buy it and stuff. You could pass it in the grocery store once or twice and consider purchasing it. Consumer behavior now is, on average, it takes 11 direct asks before someone will buy something. 11.
That's a lot.
Yes. And most of the people that I teach in business are asking 2 to 3 and giving up, thinking, well, they must not want it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you ain't even got on the radar yet. You're lucky if they opened an email, if they've seen it. That's why it takes 11, because we are bombarded with information now. So you got to cut through the noise. And that is what y'all have to do. You have to think about it. These thoughts are going to come in and you've got to cut through the noise. You're probably going to have 11 conversations, at least 11, before your brain is like, Fuck. Okay. I guess this is what we're doing tonight.
Yes.
And then it marches off in a pissy fit. It's not even like it's like, oh, I get it now. Rainbows and daisy time. Time to relax. You're not eating. It's like, no. It's like a little bratty girl who stomps off to her room and slams the door and is pissed that we're not going to eat something.
Absolutely.
That's what we have to remember. But boy, she wakes up in a good mood tomorrow. She's like,
Absolutely.
I got my lipstick on. I'm ready to go to school. Let's do
Yes.
this. All
And not just hoping that it's going to be different tonight.
No, we're not
Yes.
hoping. We're going to make it different tonight. And we know how we have to make it different. Lots of
Yes.
conversations, lots of
Okay.
talking, lots of reminding. Hey, all you want to do is relax. I know why you want to eat. You've tied food to relaxing. Well, we do that with meditation and TV, sometimes Facebook. We do it with crocheting. We have all these things that we do now. We're going to stop doing the eating part with it. Because unless you had shame about all of that stuff, as if it wasn't good enough, that would be the only emotional part that I could even find. But you said you didn't have that. So as long as you're okay with doing all of that, then now we just have to teach our brain we don't have to eat anymore. We have activities to relax with at night. We have permission to relax at night. We just don't have to eat to do it too.
Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Give it a try. Give it a try.
Glad it snowed, so I didn't go to church today. It was canceled. So this is my first coaching in 3.5 years.
That's all right. There's a lot of people that never get coached.
Well,
So
it
I'm
wasn't
so
as
proud
scary as
of
I thought.
you. Well, good. Well, try that stuff. Let us know how it goes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very
All right.
much.
You're welcome. Bye. Y'all, my rec center is closed again today, and the roads are not bad. I was so pissed because I don't want to have to work out at home today, but it looks like we're doing it. All right. Last person, Lisa.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I am in the fire zone,
Okay.
in Pasadena. I am in the area where I am packed and ready to go.
Okay.
But they are slowly rescinding it. The fire is now 17 to 25% contained. And I am a fantastic doer in the face of crisis.
Okay.
So in the beginning, I am like on top of it after the winds hit. A friend of mine and I got out to the apartment complex that I live in, and we cleared the debris from the parking lot area. I cleared the leaves from in front of my door, and got them piled up away from my door. And just did all the things.
Yeah.
I was packed like I was going on vacation for, a month. I'm still packed like I'm going on vacation for a month. And I am that person you want. After and when things are starting to slow down is when I am not out of control, but out of control. I'm not out of control with eating right now, which is, right now it's one of those things where it's like, I'm doing other things. I'm doing my Legos like I always do. But then it's like, oh, why are you tired? Why are you yawning? Why are you doing this? And so I will just like, right now it's just like, I'm just going to grab a protein shake out of the refrigerator because I don't have the energy to cook.
Okay, so you know how to take care of yourself.
And right now, my mind is racing because only 3 out of my 22 students' parents have responded to messages of, "Are you okay?"
Okay.
Several of our schools have burnt down.
Yeah.
We are closed for the next week as we look to see what the district is going to do. If I step out my door and walk just around the corner and look up the street, I can see how close that fire was to my house.
Yeah. So what can I help you with?
My brain is just like racing right now. And it's like if I'm not like super focused on something, like right now my super focus is my Legos. I did 5 sets in 3 days. That's a
You're like
lot.
my brother. My brother, oh my God, you should like, psh. He loves Legos. He's got every set, I think, known to man. His whole house is Legos. Like, God love my sister-in-law. She is like, you know what? We
This is the
are,
castle I'm working on right
yes, like, that's like my brother's land of Legos. I'm just like, you could open up a satellite Lego land.
Seriously, you could.
Let me ask you this. What do you think your brain is supposed to be doing?
It's supposed to be on a roller coaster, I guess.
I would say so. I mean, it's a crisis. We can call this a crisis. I'm gonna
It is. And
totally
at the
have.
same time, I sit here going, I don't have it as bad as my friends who have lost everything.
That doesn't mean that you're not in a crisis.
This is true. This is true. I do have support. My neighbors are wonderful. I was going to be driving to Nevada if it came down any farther. Me and my two cats. Yeah, I mean, I'm actually shaking right now, just talking to you. Because I guess, because the people I talk with are people who are in the same thing. And so we're
Yeah.
just continuing going over and going over and rehashing the same. And I guess what I want is normalcy. I want my students
I
back
think
in the
that's the
classroom.
pain. Well, this is the problem. Now, this is where the pain is coming in. This is the part we can work on. You're wishing for something that you can't have.
This is true.
No, like you could wish all day, which is wishing for things that you cannot have right now is going to make you feel what?
Out of control, emotional. Even my cat is talking.
This is probably where, when if my brain was wishing, it's like when someone dies and you wish they hadn't. So painful for you instead of allowing yourself to feel the enormity of the longing, the wanting them there and stuff. It's so much like I just want you to think of there. My mentor used to call it clean pain versus dirty pain. Clean pain is when we say, this is a shit show. Like, my kids aren't going to be back in the classroom anytime soon. And I'm experiencing a mix of things right now. In some moments, I can distract and be with my Legos, and that really takes care of me. In some moments, I'm scared to death about what's going to happen next. And in some other moments, I'm the person who you want in a crisis. And you wear all of those hats. And it's like you said, it's a roller coaster. Clean pain is knowing it's a roller coaster. Clean pain is like letting all of it come in and saying, like, sometimes I wish for things that I know can't happen. And when you say that versus, I just wish my kids would be back in the classroom next week, you just feel helpless. And we automatically feel helpless because we know we can't have that. But if you say, sometimes I wish for those things, you feel more understanding of yourself. It's like expressing compassion to the version of you who is hurting and who's scared right now. It is a lot. I mean, there's this, I mean, I wish I had magic words for you other than Lisa. You are going through something right now that is awful. And when we go through awful things, it's supposed to feel awful.
This
But
is
what I
like.
love about you is that even in an awful situation, you're still figuring out a way to make plans, to help, to reach out to people. You can, through an awful situation, observe how you are showing up in extraordinary ways during an extraordinary circumstance. And that will allow you to have the clean pain.
Okay.
And I mean, like, if I had reached out to, let's say, I reached out to, let's say I knew that there were 30 Nobius women in the line of fire, and I had text and I had y'all on my text phone, and only three of you had responded, I would hope I would be worried. I would hope that I'm not the kind of person who's like, oh well, they'll get to me when they get to me. Like,
Yeah, I've texted out to them 3 different times now. We have a communication app that's just for the classroom. And I'm just like going,
it helps
like, give me a
you.
thumbs up. Could you just give me a thumbs up?
And they might not be able to. And this is
They
what I
might not.
usually tell myself is when I'm in a situation where my brain wants to worry, I'm like, I'm okay when my brain wants to worry. And then I will tell it, look, I'm gonna not worry about this right now until I have something to worry about. So I've reached out. There might be like, I'm gonna bet that there's really good reasons why I'm not hearing back from people. Maybe I'm low on the priority poll right now. Maybe some of them have lost homes. Maybe some of them don't have cell service where they're at. Like they're like I always like to tell myself there's so many reasons. I don't want to just assume the worst reason of all. And a lot of times that helps me with my worry to kind of make it not just be like worry comes from uncertainty. I don't know what's happening. So if you catch yourself in worry and you can give yourself reasons why this might be, like there's a multitude of them, a lot of times it makes worry come back down. It can be like a low level hum, not a level 10 that's frying you out.
So, Friday night, I did not sleep at all. And I think it was just, part of, I think Friday night I was coming down from the height of everything happening, and my brain wouldn't shut off. I didn't fall asleep until 3:30 in the morning, and then I woke up at 4. And I was like, okay, let's try to go back to sleep. And I think I managed to sleep for another half an hour, and then I was up for the whole day yesterday. And I got to sleep last night. I went to bed. I think I finally got to bed around midnight. I'm working right now on normalizing my bedtime routine now. Since I'm not in imminent danger of having to evacuate, the neighborhood above me is no longer actively burning, and we do have the guard is on the streets, and there is a curfew for the area, not my neighborhood, but a couple of blocks up. And so it's just, it's a lot. It's a
It is a
lot.
lot. It is
And
a lot.
I've had to order water because we're not allowed to drink our water right now. And I'm like going, okay, let me order water from Amazon Fresh. And they brought me half the amount of water that I requested. But I'm like, okay, that's fine. I can order more. I can order more.
I think you're doing it right. Like, literally, there's nothing you've told me that gives me any signal that you're doing this wrong. Your brain is supposed to be on a roller coaster. When you are in the very beginnings of like a highly anxious new thing, like, the fires are coming. This is life threatening. So when you're put into life threatening situations, every ounce of your adrenaline and cortisol should spike to its max. That's why I tell y'all all the time, don't be running on high when you don't need to be running on high, because you want to be able to have moments like this where your life's in danger, where your body has a somewhere to go. And you've done that. The problem with a lot of adrenaline and cortisol through a highly stressful event like this is that it doesn't know how to come back down well. It's like, I always explain it like when I do events, for several days, my adrenaline and cortisol just keeps pumping. It's like going up that roller coaster. You just chunk, 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 chunk. And then when the event ends, it's not like it just slowly comes back down over a week. It's you go from here to here. You drop like a roller coaster. So your body probably, when it couldn't sleep, is like it starts trying to let go of everything, and it feels bad. Like you feel like it'll like slap you around. Like you won't even hardly be able to make sense. And I don't even think you've hit that point yet. I think you're just now in the part where you're not cranking out more adrenaline and cortisol. You're just kind of living where you got to. I will just tell you this, just expect when things kind of like when the fires are no longer imminent danger for everyone, because I think you're a very caring person. It's not like, well, I'm not in danger, so now I don't give a fuck anymore. It's like, no, like my community's hurting. Like my community is in danger. So I'm taking a lot of that in. When all that part's over, expect to feel like your ass got kicked royally. Like you may need, like, and don't feel bad about this, but you may need a day or two of just straight dope in bed, crying and feeling like ass. That's usually what I do after an event, is I spend like a day, and I don't even, this is not even life-threatening shit. I mean, it's nothing compared to what you're going to, but I almost always will spend the next day, I don't do anything. And I cry a lot. And I like, because my body is just trying to figure out how to get back to, okay, we just got to get back to normal. And the last thing I want to tell you is, nothing is going to feel normal for a long time. There's going to
No,
have
it's
to
not.
be a yes. And I want you to anticipate that you're going to want things to feel normal, and you're going to have to be on the pursuit of what is my new normal and how can I start adapting to it? The old normal does not exist. And eventually, you'll have a whole new normal and stuff. Just like we all didn't think we'd get past COVID. Here we are 5 years later. We can't believe all the things that happened. But we have a new normal. We're not back to where, like, it's not like it was in 2019. We all have a very different worldview now, but
It's
things
true.
feel normal. And so we have to anticipate we're going to get back to a new normal. And I think if you can kind of anchor yourself there, that right now is not the time to normalize things, but there will be a day when things calm down. And then it'll be time for me to figure out what the new normal is. And you'll use all the things I've taught you. You'll decide how you want to think about things. You'll decide what you want to make things mean. You'll decide all of that. And then that will make it a little bit smoother and easier. But for right now, I think you're doing it great. You're experiencing all the emotions, and you're being compassionate and understanding and distracting when you need to and taking action when you need to. And it sounds like you're trying to go to bed, and it's like one night it worked and one night it didn't. And I wouldn't expect anything different, you know? Hang in there. Keep
I'm
us
hanging.
posted.
I will. I've been posting almost every day on Facebook. Thank you everybody for being so supportive online. It's really helped a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, we will keep all of you in our prayers and everything. Hang
Thank
in
you.
there, okay?
I'm hanging.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I do want to tell all of you, we did have one Nobius woman. I'm not going to mention her name. She wrote in. She's actually in both this membership and my business membership. She lost her home, and we're helping out as best we can. We are waiting to hear from her. If she needs anything from the Nobius community, we will try to organize something for her family. But as of right now, I'm just trying to keep her, like, I don't want to put anything out there that she's not ready to share or anything like that. And I'm going to leave it. And I know that everybody in that area, y'all are in a crisis mode. If you are in that area and you need help, you just need to write in to us. If you hear this, I know most of the Nobius women are probably not even listening to a word that's coming out of my mouth right now, as they should, should or shouldn't be, however, whatever makes you feel better. If it's staying connected with Nobius, if it's coming back later, whatever that is. But we are thinking of everyone. So, okay. Thank you, everybody. Keep California in your prayers and North Carolina. There's just been a lot of natural disaster tragedy, and it's whether it's floods or fires or hurricanes or tornadoes or whatever, it's losing your home is really hard, just really hard. And I hope to never have to go through that. So y'all take care. I will see y'all next week. Bye, y'all.